Hello there, folks. It's Cliff again with a quick roundup of the sporting issues that we've come across. But just to warn you, well, to warn you, to welcome our mate John, who is coming in to follow after me, who will give you all the local information about the comings and goings of Stoke and Crewe and Vale in the football. And there's some interesting stories there just lately, I know. So we look forward to that one. But in the meantime, I'll just recap a few stories that I've found in the press, in the Sentinel and in the I newspaper, which is quite an interesting one for sports coverage. And the first thing I picked up, which I think is a big game changer, that school game to be non-contact. And this is Rugby Union. And the Rugby Football Union plans to introduce non-contact rugby to schools in England to ensure that the sport remains fit for the 21st century. This is because an independent review commissioned by the RFU found a decline in the number of pupils participating in rugby union due to concerns over players' welfare and has recommended plans to safeguard its future. And there's been a lot of problems, as there has been with soccer, that older players in football have been suffering from memory diseases and certain brain injuries from heading the ball. And in rugby union, that's a far rougher, tougher game. And there's lots of injuries on there as well. So this might help to get youngsters to be involved with the game in future. So we will see. And just another sporting success for England, a triathlon. A lad called Alex Yee, that's Y-double-E, admitted it is an amazing feeling to finish 2024 as both the Olympic and the World Triathlon Champion. The 26-year-old Brit followed up his success in the Paris Games this summer by winning the World Championship after a third-place finish in Torremolinos was enough to clinch the top spot on the table. It was Yee's first world title after picking up silver in 2022 and bronze in 2021, and he remains unbeaten during a fairy tale year. And he said, "It's a funny one because I think I knew I had it within me, but to actually do it is a whole new ball game. To hold your nerve in these times where it matters and deliver performances consistently throughout the year has always been something which I found challenging. And I probably wouldn't have believed you if I'd have achieved it, but it is such an amazing feeling to be able to do it." So that's good news from that, and another spike for Great Britain in the national and international world athletics there. Then the boxing story. I don't know, I've never been a fan of boxing, I have to admit, but I do realise it's a massive industry now, especially with the television coverage that they get. But there's a young man called Adam Azim. He's out to emulate his idol, who was Amir Khan, and to be the next trailblazer for British Asians in boxing. The 22-year-old has long been tipped as a future world champion and is trending in the right direction, having captured the European light welterweight title last time out with his 11th win from just 11 fights. Just as important to him is being the standard bearer outside the ring as Khan, who was a 2004 Olympic silver medalist and a former unified world champion who inspired countless British Asians, including Azim. And he said, "Amir Khan has had that torch and he opened a lot of doors. He's had a massive influence on my career because when I was a kid, I used to watch him all the time. He was obviously my inspiration when I was younger, and now I want to do the same thing, open the doors for all the kids that need the help most." So that's great, and it's good that something positive. It's nice to see youngsters paying tribute to the people who've gone before them, isn't it, and actually being grateful for their efforts that they've made. And then back onto football now, but football in the Premier League. Excuse me, sorry folks. Seems to be turning out the Premier League a two-way stretch at the moment with Manchester City and Arsenal, although there are other teams that are coming up close. one of which is our Lizzie's Aston Villa, who last night won the third of their matches in the Champions League. And they're top of the Champions League, having won three games in Europe out of three. And I think they're in fourth place in the Premiership at the moment. So they are having a fantastic season following last year's really good one as well. But Arsenal have got a problem at the moment, and the problem seems to be red cards, which are the disciplinary ones that referees show to people who can no longer finish the match if they've committed some serious fouls or serious misdemeanours. And Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta admits he must address the spate of red cards that continued when William Saliba was sent off against Bournemouth for denying a Bournemouth player a clear run on goal and pulling him down. It was the third dismissal in eight Premier League matches this season, and ironically the three games in which players have been sent off are also the only games of the season where the Gunners have dropped points. And Arteta said losing men on a regular basis could make a successful Premiership League campaign impossible. And Arsenal currently are 4 points behind Liverpool after eight games into the season, and face Liverpool on Sunday without the suspended Saliba. And that's Emery. Oh yes, Aston Villa again. Big article. Emery, that's the manager, Unai Emery, urges players not just to compete but to win trophies for Villa. And he has challenged his side to start winning trophies as they continue to break barriers, as I've said. Villa have been transformed in Emery's 2 years in charge and have started this season superbly, enjoying their best opening to a Premier League campaign since 1998 and winning their opening three games in Europe, including a famous victory over Bayern Munich. And moving on from that one, we have... Cricket, a few cricket stories here, but a really good one to start with is the women's cricket team, and great stuff. Congratulations to the women's team from New Zealand. Members of the New Zealand team beat South Africa by 32 runs in the final of the Women's 2020 World Cup in Dubai on Sunday. And they will split the prize money of around £1.8 million. And that works out at around £120,000 per team member, a life-changing windfall for players who have struggled for years to achieve financial parity with their male counterparts. New Zealand's first title in the World Cup of Cricket's shortest format was a huge surprise. The White Ferns, as they're nicknamed, had lost 10 consecutive matches before beating South Africa in a warm-up match. And that pre-tournament success proved a turning point for them, when they beat India, Sri Lanka and Pakistan, losing only to Australia on the way to the semi-finals, and then in which New Zealand beat West Indies. Coming into the tournament against all the odds were against us for the group to have to bounce back like they have is unbelievable, said Captain Mair. And we just care so much about each other. We've been through a lot of lows in the last 18 months and we've just stuck by each other and kept working hard for each other. And again, it's a good success story, and for persevering, it's a lesson for us all, really. We need to persevere, we need to crack on however bad the things are, and just try and make the best of things. And that is really a good inspirational one, I think. And we then have Rugby League. I don't know if anybody's interested in Rugby League, but Castleford, one of the big teams in Rugby League, have sacked their head coach, Craig Lingard, and new owner Martin Jepson's first major act since completing his effective takeover of the Castleford Tigers. Lingard was promoted from his role as assistant 12 months ago, but Jepson, who last week agreed the terms of an option agreement to buy shares owned by the Fulton family, which must be triggered before the end of January, has decided a fresh approach is required. "Wasn't an easy decision," he said. "Craig's a decent guy and well-liked by our fans, but it felt it was time for a different direction and a new voice." So we'll see how they go on with the new management and the new leaders. So there, finally on cricket, there's a couple of things on cricket that I wanted to mention. One of them is, I'm sorry, I've just lost my place here with my papers. This is very unprofessional. I do do apologise, folks. The one day internationals for England, the men's, injury forces Butler out of the ODI tour. England captain Josh Butler, who has been ruled out of the upcoming one-day international series against West Indies after another hitch in his recovery from a calf injury. His Lancashire teammate Liam Livingstone will step in to lead the tourists in the three-match series, which starts in Antigua next Thursday, I think it is, as Butler's absence extends into the beginning of England's winter programme. He's not played a competitive match since the semi-final in the T20 World Cup that they lost at the end of June and was unavailable for Australia's white ball tour last month due to a nagging right calf programme. And we lost that, incidentally. Australia beat us 2-1 on the one-day international series. So Butler, again, out of it, and not very good news for him. But the better news for the England side, who start the third Test match against Pakistan tomorrow, that's Wednesday the 23rd, I think, will be no grumbles as England stuttered against the Pakistan in the second Test. They won the first Test. It's a three-match series. England, didn't thrash them, but a very high-scoring game. Lots and lots of runs in the first match, and England ran out winners on that one. But the second Test, only a week or so ago, Pakistan, it was a different wicket that they were playing on, and it was very good for spinners, because the England spinners did well, but the Pakistan spinners did even better. And they actually won the match. So the decider will be on... starts tomorrow morning, and I record the. I'm fortunate I record the Sky television coverage, which starts at about 5 o'clock in the morning, I think, from Pakistan. But then when I come in from doing my volunteer work and so on, I can sit down and catch up with it. So that'll be one to look out for anyway on there. So that's about it from me, folks. I'm sorry if it's been a little bit rambling. I'm a bit out of practice, aren't I? Because I've been a bit poorly and not been able to help you for a while. But we're getting back there. And as I've said before to you all, please, please, if there's any particular sports that you follow or you think that you would like to hear about on this little brief summary each time, then please let me know via the... update or phone Tim, whose phone is all over the place. He can pass messages on, and we'll try and do that for you and include it. And like I say, thank you very much for your time to listen today, and I hope that you're fit and well and staying safe, and young John will be in to give you the update on the local football scene immediately after I've finished. So thank you very much.
Hi folks, it's John here with your Sport Roundup, and before I start I would just like to thank all who have done the sport while I've been ill with severe viral bronchitis and COVID, but hopefully I'm on the mend. Right now, let's get started, and we start with Stoke City, and I don't know if this game has been covered or not, so apologies if it has. So we start with Stoke v Plymouth, with Stoke winning 6-1, with goals from Tom Cannon in 13, 43, 48 and 51 minutes, and S. Gallagher in 45 plus 1 minute, and A. Moran in 53. Stoke really dominated this game, with Plymouth looking shell-shocked. And I think that Plymouth were glad to see the end of that game. Stoke's next game was away to Swansea, making a 0-0 draw, and I would have settled for a point on that one. Stoke's next game was at home to Norwich, making a draw 1-1. Norwich were the better team in the first half, but Stoke scored with Manhoof in 45 plus 6 minutes. But in the second half, Stoke rallied to keep the pressure on and were the better team of the second half. Stoke's next game is at home to Bristol City. Stoke were winning 2-0. Then, as usual, their defence fell apart to let Bristol score two goals and finish 2-2. This put Stoke 15th in the league table with 12 points. Right, we now come to Port Vale, who were at home to Colchester, drawing 1-1 with Jay Jabara scoring in the 55th minute. Vale's next game was away to Notts County, winning 1-0 with Al Tolat in the 23rd minute. Vale were then away to MK Dons, winning 1-0 with A. Hackford scoring in the 77th minute, and Vale were at home to Fleetwood, winning 3-1 with Richards in the 33rd minute and Crossdale in the 67th minute. R. Curtis in the 73rd minute. Vale's next game is away to Harrogate, with Vale top of the table and winning 1-0. And they finish with 27 points. We now move to Crewe, who were at home to Gillingham, winning 2-0 with S. Tracy scoring both goals in 17th minute and the 60th minute. Crewe's next game was at home to Lee in the League Trophy, winning 1-0 against Harrogate with C. Angus scoring in 30 minutes. Crewe were then away to Doncaster, drawing 1-1 with K. Hurst scoring in the 73rd minute. Then Crewe were at home to Salford, drawing 1-1 with R. Cooney scoring in the 26th minute. And finally, Crewe away to Fleetwood, with Crewe winning 1-0, and again R. Cooney scoring in the 87th minute, with Crewe now 6th in the table with 21 points. So we now come to the National League game, England v Greece, and Greece winning 2-1, with a very poor performance from England, and this is the first time that Greece has beaten England at Wembley. Their next game was at Finland, winning 3-1, with Grealish in the 18th minute, Alexander-Arnold in the 74th minute, and Declan Rice in the 84th minute. Well, folks, that's all from me. Stay safe and well. Till next time, goodbye.